Thank you very much. It's lovely to see you all. And I want to also have another word of prayer, just to Holy Spirit, take over my faculties and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a very interesting opportunity. I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and then talk to you about my thoughts. It's not about instructing you in your faith, but just sharing the little bit I've learned about this subject matter. I may ask questions just to get all of us involved in it. So everybody be ready when the weapon comes towards you. Just receive it. Yeah. So if I see you sleeping, I'm going to ask you a question so that. All right, so we would end at the story of Cleopas, but I'll start from other parts of the Bible so that we look at the communion, because we are going to have communion. So we are going to look at communion and then culminate it in the way Jesus had communion with Cleopas when he met them. So basically, I want to talk about communion. What is communion? Basically, can anyone just share something you know about communion? Just one person, just say, what is communion? Is anyone willing to talk?
Well, communion is sharing.
Sharing, perfect. That's it. I think the word communion comes from a Latin word, which is communio, and it means sharing or fellowship. So we all know that communion, Jesus Christ gave an instruction to his disciples and followers to do this in remembrance of his death till he comes. And it's very interesting to note that the death of Christ is not just a matter of something that happened at a certain point in time, but it's a timeless experience. When you read the book of Revelation, he says that the Lamb of God that was slain at the foundation of the world. So actually, the death of Christ started at the foundation of the world. And then the death of Christ showed up again in the time of Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 12, where at the Passover, which we saw the last just during the time of Easter, and the death of Christ showed again there, in the form of the lamb. The lamb was slain there again. Then Jesus shows up and he dies. And then when you read on in Revelation, the Bible still calls him in heaven that the lamb that was slain. The same word is used for him in heaven. So before the earth was created, when the earth was created, he showed up. And then after here, when we meet him, we'll see the marks in his hands. And that will be the evidence of the death. So the death of Christ, we are not just going to be remembering it here on earth, we are going to remember it to eternity. I wanted us to take note of that. So it is very important. So communion, it's one of the most important blocks of our faith. You need to approach it with that sense of reverence and with that sense of open-heartedness. All right, so next I would like to talk about how we should approach the communion. The Bible says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Because of this, you realize that the devil has thrown a lot of lies into the body of Christ about communion, just to scare us away from coming to partake of it. And so you come to church, or let's say places that I was born, you are being told that you cannot take communion if you sin, or if you have sinned. If you have sin in your heart, you cannot come and take communion. And a lot of people will shy away from it. Others say there are so much different kinds of propositions of as to the reason why you shouldn't take communion. But then today, I would like us to, instead of rely on what we have heard and what we've known, Let's look into Scripture to see what exactly do we need to take communion. What requirement, what do we need to do to be able to partake of it? Who can partake of communion? So quickly, I will look at the story of what Paul said, Paul's account in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I'll start from 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner he took the cup, and he supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me.'" He said, "For as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death till I come. So therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." This is where it's very important. Then you go next. He said, "But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." He said, "For he that eats it unworthily, you drink damnation unto yourself." And there is a comma, and he explains that not discerning the Lord's body. So basically, the biggest mistake you can make is to eat the body and eat the blood and drink the blood without discerning the body, without discerning what you are partaking in, without understanding, without holding in your consciousness that once this is blessed. So when you read the chapter before, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he speaks about that the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not our participation in the blood of Christ? So the moment you hold the cup, the woman minister stands here and hold the cup and blesses it, it ceases to be ordinary. You should understand that. You see, I'm not saying that physically it transforms into blood. That's not what I mean. I mean that what you are holding in your hand is a representation of an eternal truth, which is the blood of Christ. And it stands for all that the blood of Christ and the death of Christ procured for us. So the moment we hold it, we are looking at like a whole package and a whole realm that we walk ourselves into by partaking into it. So he says, this is a caution with it. He said, "For this cause, many are sick, many are weak, and many die." So if you don't discern what you are doing and you just have it like, oh, it's just, you know, the bread is not nice, just something physical, and it loses its essence. And it actually causes you judgment instead. Because when you read further, it says, "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." Then it goes further. So when you look at it, the verse 33 and the verse 34, he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat and wait for one another." He said, "If any man anger, let him eat at home." So actually, there was a problem in the church of Corinth, that when they came, they saw it as, oh, it's a time to come and booze, or it's a time to come and grasp food. You know, they've forgotten that this is not just something, a normal meal we are having. It has a greater representation, and we need to tune our minds. It's just about the mind. Just hold in your consciousness that the moment I partake in this, I'm partaking in the body and the blood of Christ. And I am demonstrating his death. That's what he says. He says, "You show the Lord's death till he comes." Then the other thing is, I know some people would, how does this all come together? First of all, the Bible says that No man, without faith, no man can please God. No man can please God without faith. So he said, before you can approach God, you must first believe that he is. And before you even became a Christian, you had to believe something. You had to believe that Jesus came to die for you. And he resurrected on the third day. So our whole faith and the whole practice of our faith is based on faith. So if you want to do this communion and you say, oh, this thing, I don't really need to believe anything. I don't really need to hold anything in my mind. No, you miss out on the essence of it. And so you have to approach it with faith. Because the Bible says that anything that is not done out of faith is sin to God in the book of Romans. Yes. The lectures are so many. Sorry. So quickly, I want to go on to the benefits of the communion. When you partake of it, what are the benefits? Aside showing the Lord's death. Now, I think it will be very boring to just partake in something as holy as this without any result, without any benefit. What's the essence? Okay, we are having communion to remember the Lord's death. To what extent? For what? We've shown the death, so what? What do we get from it? It's interesting to look at scriptures. First of all, it enforces unity in the body of Christ. Because he says that when we partake of the communion, we are all one body. When you read the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4, he says that we are all one body. And the moment we partake of it, we become one. I don't know, but I want to ask you, if you have a quarrel with somebody, can you sit on the same table and eat with the person? Is it possible? No. So I'll share a story about my life and my elder brother. So when we were kids, we used to eat from the same pot. So like you eat together on the same table, but we eat together from the same pot. So that's how we grew up. And so when we have a quarrel, I'll tell my brother, I'm angry, I'm not going to eat with you. Then my dad will say, Joe, eat everything. And, you know, the way we grow up, you only eat food when you have it. And so there's no luxury of I'll eat what I want or I can eat later. No, we eat together. That's why I always eat quickly. Because while we are eating together, you have to be fast. If not, you'll be... Exactly. So Tim and Marion keeps asking me, why do you eat so fast? I say, I don't know. I can't explain. But today I've explained it. Right. So my dad would tell him, eat. Don't mind him. Just eat everything. So when you starve one night, I bet you never starve again. So and I did it once. And from then, I never starved again because we will quarrel, but we'll still eat. And when we eat, that's it, together. That's it. We forget about all the nonsense that happened. And so since then till now, I really find it difficult to be at loggerheads with somebody. Like when somebody's angry at me, I find it so difficult. I can't live with you even in the same place. Knowing that I have a problem with you and, you know, I don't want to see your face. No, I can't. So when we come together like this and we share the cup and we share the body, it reinforces that unity in the body. Number two, which is, the faith part, is healing. Healing. Let's read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Someone else can look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. So any of them says the same thing. Isaiah 53, verse 5. I'll be finishing very soon. Okay, so he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So the death of Christ is a whole package. It's not just about showing it. We need to also show it by accessing all that it has in package for us. And as part of the package is healing. I know it's difficult to wonder in this culture or in this context about healing, you know, just believe and have communion and believe that God, through communion, I can receive healing from God. It might sound, I need to go to the hospital. Yes, it's not a medical advice that you shouldn't go to the hospital. Please go to the hospital when you are not well. However, if the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you feel that I can get my healing through the death of Christ, I want to test the word of God. Yes. Yes, I want to stretch my faith. I believe I can get healed. Just believe. Because that is it. How did you know you are a Christian? Because you simply believe that Christ died and resurrected. So the same way, just believe that as I partake of the body of Christ, and as the blood of Christ is received into my body, whatever is in my blood that is not of God, I eject it, I flush it out by the blood of Christ. Or I stand in the truth of the word of God. With me personally, because of lack of medical care, it's one of my quickest way to get my healing when I'm not well. And my mother can also testify. If I call her right now, she will tell you a lot about communion and what it has done for her. But I don't want to localize it. It's not for only me. It's not for just me and my family and my friends. But it's for all us all. Amen. Now let's look at quickly. There are so many benefits. I can't go into all of them. And one of them also is about forgiveness of sin and freedom from the bondage of sin. He says, when you look at Romans 6:6, the death of Christ came to release us from the bondage of sin. So you have believers who are struggling with sin. Oh, I don't want to do this sin, but I keep doing it. People struggling with addiction, having all manner of problems. When we come to the communion table, it is the time to say, from today, as I stand in the faith of the death of Christ. Because, you see, Christ did not die so that we remain in bondage. The moment you remain in bondage and you are still being controlled by whatever it is, then it means that the essence or the provision of the death of Christ is not at work in your life. And there is something wrong because you don't believe and you are not insisting it. You know, yeah, we just come to church, but we go back home and, you know, just go back and do the same thing. No. You need to say, in the name of Jesus, as I partake of this body, as I partake of his blood, I am free. He said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you only need the truth. You only need to accept the truth and stand by it, and it will work. So you say, as I remember of the death of Christ and his resurrection, he said in baptism and in resurrection, we resurrected with him. So as I remember the death of Christ through this communion, I reject any form of sin. I say I'm no longer under the control of sin. And so there are things that you find yourself struggling to break away from. I don't know what it is. But you can insist and said, by this communion, by this covenant, he said, this is my covenant. He said, the new covenant established in my blood. So you it's a covenant. And you know, covenants are not a joke. Even physically, people have blood covenants, and when they try, really, in physical relationships, people have blood covenants, and when they try getting away from each other, you see what happens. Physically, just normal one. How much more the new covenant in Christ? You insist and let the devil check out. You have no control over my life. Now, finally, I can't go any further. Let me quickly do the journey to Emmaus. Then we look at the final part of it. Have I taken too much time?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, that is where the sweet story is. He said, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. He said, they were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them." Interesting. So this reminds me, he said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, he's there. So wherever I meet someone and I'm talking, the moment I start talking about Christ, I know he's there, his presence is there with me. He shows up. He's interested. He wants to know what is going on, what you are talking about. So, but you know what? You know one thing? Now look at what he said. He said, they were talking to each other about everything that had happened. And as they... Yes, so he said, but they were kept from recognizing him. So you see, he can show up among you, but you will not recognize that he's there. But the fact that you cannot see him or recognize that he's there doesn't mean he's not there. This was just a demonstration of that scripture that said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. This was just a demonstration. He wanted to show them that I am with you, but you may not know. And we should be aware of that. That whenever we start, whenever we meet each other, it could be casually, wherever. The moment you start talking about him, he shows up. He's interested. And all the angels are interested as well. So I read on. He says, he asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. They were sad. Our Lord is, we couldn't find him. So he said, one of them named Cleopas asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said, what things? Hey, look at Jesus. You know what happened. It's like when I do something Marion don't like and she wants to call me Abraham, then I behave as if I don't really know what is happening. I'm lost, but I know what I've done. Yeah, so he said, what things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in the word, and indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came out and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. I just remember the song, he's alive, amen. So he said, Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. So interestingly, it's like when the women said it, they didn't really believe what the women said. They had to go and confirm. We need to get some men to go and confirm. But Jesus showed himself to them. Interesting. He said, did not the Christ... Okay, so I think Jesus started speaking here. He said to them, how foolish you are. Oh, so we can say foolish, I didn't know. He said, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe. Don't be slow of heart to believe this morning. All that we are sharing about communion. Don't be slow of heart to believe. Don't say, oh, what Abraham is saying is not really, this is just a communion, we are just having a cup. And no. Don't be slow of heart to believe. Believe what we are saying today. He said, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So you see, I referred to what Isaiah had spoken about his wounds and his death. You see, don't be slow to believe. Don't be slow to believe. He says, did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And that is exactly what we've done this morning. We've looked at what Moses, in the time of Moses, what happened even before the foundation of the world. So that is, we are actually having the real communion. They said, then as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if they were going farther. So you see, Jesus was very good at acting. He acted. He pretended. So is it wrong to pretend? If I pretend, don't say I'm wrong. In a very positive way. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread. Whenever this bread is taken and is blessed, you should know that something has happened. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then, what happened? Their eyes opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Jesus. How refreshing. So you see, the communion was not ordinary. The moment they took it, their eyes opened. Their eyes opened to the reality of whom they were partaking with. And then he disappeared. This morning, when the communion is lifted before us, when it is blessed, I want you to have a change of mind. Approach it in faith and insist upon what the death procured for you. Stand in your faith. Don't be weary. Insist in your healing. Insist in your freedom in Christ. Insist in your peace and joy on this earth. You can say a prayer. You can say something in the moment of taking that communion. Because actually he's there with us. And he's here to listen. He's not here just to be a spectator and go back. He's here to listen to us. Last week, Louise shared a testimony with me. I don't know if she can touch on it. Like somebody just said a wish in this church. We met for fun and faith. And I love the topic, that fun and faith. We actually had fun. And somebody just made a request, believing, because this Jana was led to say, just pray, just ask God anything. And the person believed and made a wish. And boom, the next day it was answered. Louise, please, can you just share that briefly?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
we'll go on this one. Yeah, we had a great time last Sunday. We had some of the adults with us who I think were particularly challenged by. We were looking at the feeding of the 5,000. And at one point in the morning, Jana just encouraged us to come before something that we really needed God to work in. And one of our parents that was here did that, prayed for something very specific, two things. And the next day, when I met her, she said, you never know what's happened, Louise. I did. I thought, I'll just give it a go and see what happens. This is someone that's not from a faith background. And she said, I had two phone calls, and both of those things were answered. That's really weird. So it was just an example. We were able to talk about prayer then, and how our Father in Heaven gives us the things that we need. So that's just an example, really.
Thank you so much, Louise. Yeah, I know all of you have testimonies as such. So don't give up. This is the time for us to partake in the cup of blessing and the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Bless us and continue to open our eyes to the reality of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.